It's showtime.
Hey, welcome to Did You Watch Survivor Last Night? My name is Jake Shidell. This is a podcast about reality television and friendship in which I ask my best friend, Thomas Powell, if he did indeed watch a certain reality show. Hey, Thomas, how you doing this afternoon? First week of the off season of Survivor. How you doing? How's it hanging? Is that the phrase?
Yeah, as the kids are saying. Tell me these days.
Tell me how your kids are hanging. Over a balcony with a blanket on its head. MJ, shout out. Remember him? Remember that guy?
Mm-hmm.
Good dude. He made a bad. He made Thriller. He died. Those are his three big hits.
The dying big hit for Michael Jackson. Best move he's ever made for his career.
Honestly, though. People looking back at him as a legend now. And, you know, that wasn't really the case beforehand. So you're doing good? Is that what I'm getting from that?
I'm fine, man. Everything's good over here.
I'll say.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, bro.
Fuck yeah. What's up? Yeah, all good. I mean, it's summertime now. You can't not be good in the summertime. You know seasonal affective disorder that people get in winter?
It's
the exact opposite in summer.
Seasonal ineffective disorder.
Yeah, I got SIDS. What's up? That was a bad joke. Yeah, this was a good week. We're doing something new this week. We're going back and watching an old season. The oldest season of Survivor there has ever been. Well, I don't know if that's necessarily true. It's the oldest season called Survivor, but I think in the 90s they did something a little different. But I don't know if it's findable. Anyway, Thomas, my question for you this week is, did you watch Survivor Borneo last night?
I sure did.
Oh, boy. Yes. More like, oh, boy, or nope. You got what I was going for, though. This was the first ever episode of Survivor. It was called The Marooning. Pretty good title, I would say, for this episode. Very of the time. Described the episode perfectly. They were marooned on an island. I thought it was a good title.
Yeah. I thought it was a... Especially, like, thinking at the time it's a good title, because this was such a new concept. Like, the idea... Now it's just like, yeah, they're on an island. Like, the premise of it takes such a backseat to all of the other stuff, because we
right.
think of it more as a game than as an actual survival thing. But at the time, it was like, holy shit, these people are going to have to,
like, literally survive.
Just literally survive on this.
In a dangerous environment, yeah.
And, yeah, they didn't have, you know, a whole 30-some seasons of foundation for to know what to do, and...
Right. That was one of the biggest things, was, like, I knew going in that I would already know how the game works, but you have to be in the mindset of somebody who's never seen this show before, where Jeff Probst has to explain what a challenge is, what immunity does, like... Where you have to go to get water. Like, everything has to be explained to them. And both the contestant and the viewer, it's like, we already know all this. So now that we're through the first episode, I think maybe we'll get less of that. But it's cool. This episode first aired on May 31st, 2000. I was 9 years old. How old were you in 2000, May 31st of 2000? Were you also 9 years old?
I would have been 8 years old at the time.
Oh, really? Weird.
I don't know why you're bragging about the fact that you're going to die sooner than me. That, at the time, you could maybe brag about being 9 instead of 8, but why would you want to be older now? We're past the point where being older is a good thing in any way.
I'll be 30 before you.
Yeah.
So, that's pretty cool.
Enjoy it, bitch.
I will. 30's the new 29, actually. So... Looks like I'm...
Well, you can tell me that when you're 30 and I'm 29.
Yeah, I will. For approximately 5 months ago, guess who's 30? And then come August, you'll be like, yeah, both of us. And then March, I'll be like, guess who's 31? I'm like, you gotta stop doing this. So I'm older than you by a little bit. That's fun. So we start off in the village where they board the ship. This is, in current seasons, we just already start on the ship. This one, we actually see them board the ship from the village.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's not something they have to show every season, but it makes sense for them to show it the first season. It just makes it seem more mysterious.
Yes. Yeah, they sunk a lot into the narrative of the show. Being like, ooh, it's a spooky island. You might call it a ghost island. Jeff Probst narrates this scene with an uncharacteristic monotone.
Yeah, this is a very, like, restrained Jeff, and I think it actually works really well.
Yeah, can you imagine him coming out, like, shouting like he is in current seasons?
Yeah, you can't do that. That's an established thing. That fits now. Yeah. It would have been weird to do it then.
It would be weird if he was still using that monotone in current seasons, and it would be weird if he was using his current form of speech in this season. Hey, get on the ship! Why are you shouting at me, Jeff? Well, on the ship, they all gather supplies, and then Jeff says they must learn to adapt or be voted out. That's the whole premise of the show still, 18 years later.
Yep.
That's still the whole thing.
It's a simple concept that is executed very well.
Yes. The tribes Tagi and Pagong are named after their beaches. That is information that we do not receive in current seasons. And I think that is unfortunate. Like, why was the tribe called... Oh, boy, what were any of the tribes called last season?
Malolo?
Malolo. Why was it called Malolo? What does that mean? They don't tell us in the show. You have to research it yourself, which I'm fine with doing because I'm a big old Survivor nerd, but I would like it to know. And then Jeff gives a 1 or 2 sentence summary of each contestant. Another thing that they got rid of, which I don't understand.
Yeah, that...
Like, why would you get rid of that? Just like, hey, this is Brutus. He's a farmer from Oklahoma. That's fine. Tell us that. You know?
Yeah. No, I actually liked that. I thought that was cool. And they showed them, like... You know, they showed the shot of them or whatever in, like, their normal civilian life.
Yeah.
They showed the guy in the doctor's coat. They showed the guy on the farm, like...
Yeah, that was Brutus. So bring that back. And then each tribe gets on a raft and has to row to their beach. We start off on the Tagi beach. Rudy is upset that they were dragging some boxes of supplies behind them rather than putting them on the raft with them. So he says it's added weight. Rudy's old. Colleen is young and is annoyed with him. Rudy takes the lead on the shelter building plan. And then Richard tries to explain tribe strategy and unity to Sue. And she says, great quote, I'm a redneck. I don't understand the corporate world, but I know the corporate world ain't going to work out here in the bush. It's a pretty good, like, summary of the show. I mean, she is partially wrong.
Yeah.
But I like the sentiment.
No, I thought, well, it was an interesting, like, contrast. In conclusion, Survivor is a show of contrasts.
Yes, absolutely. In a talking head, Richard says he's going to have to work on his social game, although he doesn't call it a social game. He just says, I gotta be better at talking to people. But he also uses the phrase, I'm the winner.
Yeah, he says, like, I'm going to win. It just is gonna be...
He literally says, not even I'm going to win, he says, I'm the winner. In the first episode.
Called a shot, man.
So, I think we can just stop watching now.
Man, Richard...
We know he's gonna win.
Richard fucking owns. He was the MVP of this episode.
Oh, absolutely. And, like, watching it, knowing what we know now, it's, like, very clear why he played such a big part in this episode. But it was so obvious. Like, he already was an expert at the game when no one had any experience.
Yeah, when no one had any strategy at all.
And he... Well, yeah, he comes from, like, a corporate world where it's very important...
It's like watching Wilt...
Like, how to talk to people.
It's like watching old footage of Wilt Chamberlain playing against, like, 6'7", like, uncoordinated white dudes. Mm-hmm. And he's, like, just fucking, like, dusting all of them.
Yeah. Three.
Or, like,
three,
watching LeBron...
Three, that's Richard Hatt.
Or, like, watching LeBron James in high school.
Yeah. It's not like watching J.R. Smith at the end of the game one of the finals.
That meme is actually really good.
That is a good meme, yeah. We talked for like 10 or 15 minutes about memes before
there was,
we started
I think,
recording.
I think my favorite one thus far, there's been a few really good ones, is the "You are a toy, a child's plaything.
Oh, that was
you
so
are
good.
Not Buzz Lightyear."
I like the Icebox Plums one.
I'm so fucking done with that. That
no, I love,
has been beaten into the ground for so long.
Oh, but that's what makes it so good. I love any time that you can put two memes in one. I think that's fun, and I like it a lot. And I am upset that you don't like the Plums meme anymore.
I'm just done
with
it.
It's so funny. It's so good. Because it's like, why did we get into this? But now everyone's into it. And it's good. It's how language works. You know, you just say the same thing over and over, and eventually it becomes the truth.
Somebody photoshopped a bunch of LeBron pictures into the... You're familiar with Loss, right?
Ugh, yeah, I don't understand it. I mean, I understand it, I just don't understand why it's such a big thing.
It gets referenced because it's from the worst webcomic in history, and it is, like, the absolute low point of that, where they, like, this already terrible one, like... had his shitty character, like, self-insert character, and, like, had his wife have a miscarriage for, like, yeah. Weird dramatic purposes.
I don't, like, is, I've never read this webcomic.
Don't, it's was really that, bad.
Is that, was it in context of the larger story?
I think it was, like, she was pregnant, and, like, as, like, a long-term, or longer-term thing, but, like...
Because, like... Reading only that comic, and that is the only one I've read of that webcomic, it, like, does not make sense. Like, not, I don't know. It's...
Another very good LeBron meme is, LeBron is my dog, and JR is me, putting on my gym shoes without the intention of walking my dog.
That's a good
no!
one, too. Game 2 is tonight, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Can't wait to see
James. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I forgot. The best one was LeBron holding out a baby and someone photoshopping the Drake putting his hand up thing.
Yeah. Okay. Richard gathers the tribe together and tries to explain how to work as a team. I liked this. I was like, that makes a lot of sense why you would do that. He then asks Sean if he understands what he's saying, and Sean says that he was daydreaming. I love this show so much.
Oh, it's great. I'm sorry, this will be the last one of the LeBron memes that I mentioned, but...
It won't be,
it's perfect because it's John Boyce, and this is an extremely John Boyce one, but it's just a speech bubble photoshopped by LeBron that just says, "If only you had shot the ball, we could have won, but you lost track of the score and tried to run out the clock instead. Now it'll be very tough to win. I can't believe it." And that's the whole thing.
Do you remember a YouTube star before, like, YouTube stars were really a thing called Boyce Avenue?
I'm not familiar with that at all.
It was this, like... fuck boy who played piano on YouTube and, like, covered popular songs, like, 10...
Oh, when that was, when that was, like, actually a novel thing.
Yeah. So look it up, it's bad.
I won't, but okay.
Yeah. It's really, it's the loss of, YouTube musicians. Also, when
like
you
Carmen.
Said... when you said... Have you heard of Loss? I was expecting you to hit that T at the end, and I was like, yeah, I've heard of fucking Lost. I own all six seasons.
Are you familiar with the show Lost?
I was thinking about Lost. You know, Lost was ABC's answer to Survivor, right?
Yeah.
In 2004, they're like, we need to do something to compete with Survivor, and they're like, what if we did a thing about God? And they're like, okay. And then Heroes was NBC's answer to Lost.
Yep.
So, basically, Heroes is Survivor.
This is like a game of telephone the networks all did.
Yeah. And then what's the other one? Fox? What was Fox's answer to Heroes? Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
The OC.
I love television. Over on Pagong, BB and Ramona go on a trek to find the watering hole. BB jokes that they can't vote them out now because they're the only ones who know where the water is. That was very
that
good.
Was, that was also. Nice, yeah.
It's especially funny because I know who gets voted out next episode. It's, spoiler alert for something that aired 18 years ago. It's one of those two. So how are they going to get water now?
I have an idea of who it is.
Who do you think it is?
I think it's the old guy because he's being annoying to everyone.
You're right. You know what BB stands for?
What?
Bitch boy.
Big brother.
It stands for big brother.
Survivor was CBS's response to big brother.
yeah, it was. What came first? Oh, Big Brother, I think, aired on in England before here, but I don't know if it aired before Survivor or after. I would think after, right?
I think so.
Okay, well, we'll probably forget to look that up, but if you feel like it, go for it, and you can tweet at us at, what's our Twitter? DYWSLN. I'm not at that point on the document yet, so. Okay, over on the Toggy tribe, Rudy feels left out because he's older than everyone else on his tribe and says, I don't even know what MTV means. Rudy's a champ. I love him. He then explains his military background. Oh, this part was gross. Sue combs knots out of her hair with a knife.
Oh, yeah, that was fucked up.
And then they trapped some rats to eat. Okay, yeah, I'm starting to see why this show was such a phenomenon. Just that whole scene.
Yep.
That whole 5-minute segment was incredible. Have I ever told you how my family used to go to, like, this barbecue, like, competition every summer? And there would be, like, different things you could win, like, different championships, like dessert and, like, main course and side dish and whatever else.
Yeah.
And the event was called Griller Warfare. Like, Guerrilla Warfare.
Yes.
It was a pun.
Yeah.
The pun-based party. The only time, I think, we won for the main course was the summer that this season was airing. And we got little, like, plastic rat decorations and put them on a plate and then, like, skewered some chicken and put all the seasoning on it to make the chicken look really, really dark. And then we called it some survivor-based thing and told everyone that it was rat meat. And, like, most of the adults got it, but there were some kids who were like, this is real rat. It's so good. And we won, and it was great. So that's a fun story. You should ask my dad about it next time you see
him. Sure, yeah.
Since you live in the same town. He's a better storyteller than me because he gets more excited when the story is about himself. Just throwing my dad under the bus. Got
yeah,
to practice
damn.
For Blood vs. Water 3.
Fucking roasted Jake's dad.
I would play Survivor with my dad. That'd be fun.
Jake
and Seidel's I would vote him out
Savage Moments compilation.
Over on the Pagong Beach, BB works on the shelter and is annoyed with Joel and complains about lazy people. He was all like, millennials don't do shit. All they do is go to the library and read books. Like, shut the fuck up. Go back to Buffalo Wild Wings, BB. You know what BB stands for? Buffalo Wild Wings, Buffalo Wild Wings. then he and Gretchen make fire with his glasses. That was... I miss when people had to use their glasses to make fire. That was a fun little ingenious way to do it.
No, that was cool.
Toggy, they also try to make fire. And then from the forest, Jeff explains tree mail and the challenges. I like how he was, like, beneath a tree in darkness and then just walked towards the camera. I was like, this is tree mail. Also, they've kind of gotten rid of tree mail, which is
it's still there, but, yeah, it's not
It's still there.
As
it just
prominent.
Doesn't play as big a part. Yeah. And then we get to the immunity and reward challenge. The reward is 50 waterproof matches. Got rid of those, too. Now it's Flint, baby. You know what BB stands for? Baby.
Yes.
The challenge is they have to carry a big torch on a raft and then light a bunch of other torches that are lined up. And then here's another thing they got rid of in the past 18 years. They tell us on screen who is leading at any point. I think that's cool. At one point, Sonya stumbles, and then Pagong wins. The final torch they have to light is in the hand of a large wooden statue, and after the challenge, they light that statue on fire like the Wicker Man. Right? Is that that's the Nicolas Cage
yes,
movie,
Yes, that
right?
is correct. Also, like also the Christopher Lee movie.
Yeah, I prefer the Nicolas Cage version.
Yeah, the one that's written by the weird misogynist that did, turned that into the whole remake.
Really? Who wrote it?
Neil LaBute. He has a running theme of having some anger towards women that runs through his movies.
Well, if they would just fuck him, then everything would be fine.
I don't even know if it's that. Who knows?
I don't know why anyone would not want to fuck the writer
who wouldn't
of Nicolas Cage's Wicker Man.
Who wouldn't want to fuck Neil LaBute, writer of the movie where Sam Jackson says, "I'm the police, you have to do what I say."
Oh, he wrote that too?
Yeah, he did that movie.
What was that one called? Like, Scary Driveway Light?
Scary Neighbor.
Scary Neighbor starring Sam Jackson. He's scary because he's black.
You think it's a racist thing, but it's actually because he's a cop.
Yeah.
Which is actually, honestly,
is also a
very,
thing.
Honestly, very prescient in terms of a horror movie where the villain is a cop.
I think we need to revisit that movie. Speaking of movies we should watch on this program, so Mike White, writer of School of Rock, is on the next season of David... Nope. Is on the next season of Survivor.
Correct.
Which is called David vs. Goliath. Which I think means we can watch School of Rock and cover it on this show now.
We're going to be covering both seasons of Enlightened for this.
Oh, yes. Once we get through all previous seasons of Survivor, once we catch up, we'll start on Enlightened. I'm writing that down. Any Mike White project is feasible now.
It's all fair game.
I was thinking what we would cover in the winter off season, and I think we could do an old season every off season for a while.
Yeah.
We just might have to double up on an episode every once in a while in the winter off season because it's shorter.
That's fine.
Okay. I guess we can talk about that in 6 months, but it's just something that ran through my head this week. Okay, over on the Toggy Tribe in a Talking Head, Rudy says Richard is smart and strong, fat, but strong. Rudy. I love Rudy.
He is, Richard, I thought I was going to really dislike him because he is, like, such an old, like, you know, like,
old and crotchety,
like, old,
yeah.
old Navy crank, but, like, I did like yeah. that he at least, like, he at least is self-aware. Like, I liked when he was talking yeah. about, he's like, you know, he's like, if I were in charge, if I could control everybody, they'd all have haircuts and we'd all be marching in formation yeah. or whatever, but he's like,
yeah.
he's like, you know, I'm the one that's got to fit in. And I was like, I actually really like that he's self-aware enough to realize that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a likable old man. Richard likes Rudy, but believes that everybody else sees him as arrogant. Richard believes any one of four people could be voted out, himself being one of them. But here's the thing, he said already that he's the winner, so, which is
you just can't be too confident.
Yeah. Sonya believes that her stumble is what cost them immunity. Stacy feels not confident, but secure. Interesting word choice from Stacy. I don't know why more people don't say secure instead of confident. They mean similar things, but not the exact same. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you could be like, I feel safe, and not like
yeah.
confident.
I don't know. Safe is cutting it close too. I don't know. You can't feel safe. You can't feel secure. You can't feel confident at this point in the game. Maybe 18 years
ago.
You
just said that people should say secure though.
Yeah, but then I thought about it a little more, and I was like, actually, if somebody said that in the current
fatal
game,
mistake,
like, this guy is going
fatal
home.
Fatal mistake, Stacey.
Sue says, everybody's bossy to Stacy because she doesn't move her ass. And then she says, the chicks think I'm voting for one person, but I am not. And then
I like that that was like a big deal at the time of this.
Yeah.
Like, being untruthful about who you were voting for was like, whoa, what a crazy play.
I know. I love, too, how the producers thought that it was just be like, the least popular person would be voted out. It's like, no, that's, like, they're going to figure out how to make this game work for themselves pretty early on. Like, Sue figured out tribal council number one. It was just like, yeah, lie to people. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
That's how you
like,
win
Survivor. The idea that you wouldn't play with any kind of strategy is really funny.
Right. There's
there are people that don't, but in this season, which yeah. makes it even more interesting.
There are two rules if you want to win Survivor. One, lie. Two, listen to Did You Watch Survivor last night?
Yep.
If you want to win,
the two most important things.
All right, Thomas. This is 18 years too late, but the first ever segment of Wildlife Shots. There were so many. Oh, did I say they have to hike to Tribal Council, which is where we got a lot of these wildlife shots. There's the banded sea crate, which we have talked about. There was a monkey. There were several types of snakes. There was a rat, an eagle, crab, some big ants, and a common water monitor. You know those common water monitors?
Yeah.
They're similar to Komodo dragons, and I thought, at first glance, it was a Komodo dragon. Apparently, Komodo dragons are from a very specific part of the world, which I did not know. The common water monitor is also known as the rice lizard, the ring lizard, the plain lizard, or the no mark lizard. He's got a lot of names.
Yeah.
That's good.
That lizard wears a lot of hats.
Mm-hmm. They grow to be about 5 to 6.5 feet long. Crazy. The largest ever found, though, was 10.5 feet long. That's crazy. That's too big.
Too big. Tone it down.
Chill out, lizard.
Reel it in, guys.
They are the second biggest lizard after the Komodo dragon. They are muscular with long tails. They are not deterred by humans. That's interesting. They'll eat fish, frogs, rodents, birds, crabs, snakes, turtles, young crocodiles, and their eggs. They've also been observed... Oh, this is so good. Oh, I love this so much. They've also been observed eating catfish by taking a bite out of the fish and then holding the rest of the fish in their claws. How good is that? So that's the first ever wildlife shot of Survivor, the CBS reality program.
Everybody's got to start somewhere.
True, and they started with a lot. You know how now it's like 3 wildlife shots, and you're like, thank you. This had like 40, because they had to illustrate how scary it was. They literally had to do everything themselves. They rode to their beach. They hiked to Tribal Council. They created shelter. I guess they still do that. But
these millennials have it easy, you know?
Yeah. This, like, legitimately looked hard. Like, current seasons look hard. But this one looked especially hard.
It did look very hard.
Yeah. It was... I guess they were like, you know, by... After a few days, nobody wants to move anymore, and that makes it very boring to watch. But, so they kind of got rid of all the physical difficulties. But, man, can you imagine having to do that? Great stuff. Love this show. Okay, let's talk about the first ever Tribal Council, which was a very small set. Also, did you notice that there's a chest of money sitting next to the fire? Like, you know, $1 million? It's right here. And then they sit down around the fire all in one row. That's crazy. Like, they didn't think... This is bad structuring. Bad, what's it called? Blocking? I don't make TV. When Jeff explains to them what will happen and tells them all to grab a torch because, in this game, fire represents life. He said that every time.
This is the first time he said it.
You think he said that word, those words in that order before they started shooting, or do you think those are that's the first time he said that out loud?
That's a good question. I don't know.
All right, tweet at Jeff Probst. Ask him when he said those words.
If that was planned or if it was an ad lib.
Yeah. They talk about the trek to Tribal. Whew. And then the challenge, and it's surprisingly not dramatic at all. Because I've gotten so used to, like, everybody throwing everybody else under the bus, and they're like, yeah, we walked here, we saw some scary animals, the challenge was difficult, sorry. And then Jeff says, it's time to vote, and then points at someone and says, you're first. He doesn't even use their name. When Sue votes, she calls Sonia the weakest link, which was another show that aired around this time. Before reading the vote, Jeff congratulates them on making it this far. 3 days in. It's amazing.
Yeah, it was actually a very nice moment. He was like, you guys could have quit. This was a tough 3 days, and you didn't. So you're all winners. Yeah.
I don't think anybody quit or was medically evacuated this season. First season ever that happened. Okay, so then Jeff reads the votes. The votes are for Sonia, Sonia, Stacy, Sonia, Rudy, 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 and Sonia. So she's gone now. Barely knew her. So that's
we got to see her sing that commercial song, and that was about all we got to see. And
what
also
she also
like cut her leg or whatever. It was for like Prozac or something. Remember she was singing to Richard?
Oh, yeah, and she was like, this is the therapist version of whatever. Was that her?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. That was a good little moment. Should have had more of her in the episode. She seemed fun. She's never come back.
This show had some fucking old-ass people on it.
Right?
They didn't know better.
Well, I think the idea was that they wanted to get people from, like, every age group and like, denomination. Or, what's the word I'm thinking of? Demographic. They wanted it to be, like, a slice of Americans.
Yeah.
So they picked one from every group of people. At least, I think that was the idea. And then, so you got a 70-year-old and a 20-year-old. And that's cool. Whereas now it's anybody from 21 to 34. Is the people who play the game. Oh, speaking of the game and how old people are, that part has very little to do with what I'm about to say, but rumors are coming out about what season 38 is going to be, and it's a captain's season.
Oh, okay.
With 4 captains. I don't know how accurate these rumors are, but the Survivor Reddit is freaking out. And the 4 people who are rumored to be the captains are pretty good. And you have seen all of them.
Whom are they?
Okay, let me try to remember all of them. I can think of 3 of them off the top of my head. Aubrey.
Okay.
Aubrey would have won, we all know. At least that's how you feel. I think Michelle is a deserving winner, but whatever. We don't have to talk about it now. Joe, Hot Joe.
Sure. I bet Jeff's excited about that one.
Yeah. There was a 3rd person who will be playing for a 3rd time who I cannot... Oh! Kelly Wentworth.
Aha! Hell yeah.
I think that's who it was. Was it Wentworth or Wigglesworth?
I hope it's Wentworth.
Yeah. I mean, I would be fine seeing Kelly Wigglesworth come back too, but I don't think she really fits in with the rest of the crowd that they're bringing back. And 4th... has only played 1 time. I want you to guess who it is. He's only played 1 time. I'll give you more hints as you guess.
Is it Dom?
It's not Dom. It's way too early for him to come back. He played on Millennials vs. Gen X.
Is it Zeke? No, Zeke's played twice.
Zeke's played twice.
what the fuck, the guy, the, is it David? Is the guy's name?
It's David, yeah.
It's David, wow, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know how accurate that is, but, rumors like that are rarely inaccurate.
Also, those would be four good choices, so.
Yeah, I mean, Boston Rob was on a captain season, and that's how he won his season, his first ever win, but, oh, I guess he came pretty close in All-Stars, but whatever. Fucking Boston Rob. Joe's the new Boston Rob. That's fine. Okay, speaking of Millennials versus Gen X, use the hashtag Figtails on X3.
Figtails!
So we can get those kids on MTV for the future season of... What's that show called? The Challenge.
Oh, what's the show's name?
What's that show we watch, or I watch? Speaking of The Challenge, I forgot to put The Challenge chunk in, so I'll just do it off the top of my head. The Challenge chunk, you know, there were two teams, and there were a number of people on each team. Seven, maybe? They split into teams of two, so now there are pairs. And the pairs are CT and Tony are a pair. Wes and Booby Gibson are a pair. Louise and Casper Smart are a pair. Kayla and Drake Bell are a pair.
Drizzy Drake Bell?
Nope, different Drake. That's really unfortunate that Drake, Aubrey, Toronto Raptor, Drizzy Drake Graham kind of took over that name. Because we had a Drake already.
Drake's got to form a music duo with someone whose first name is Josh.
Drake, Drizzy Drake?
Yeah.
Yeah. Josh... Dumel, he's an actor turned musician, probably, who just hasn't made the turn yet. It would be so funny if he.
Yeah, he's not a musician yet.
Yet, give that boy a guitar. So yeah, there's a bunch of pairs. Oh, Brooke Hogan is with Shane. That's a pair. So then they go into vote, and it comes down to Booby and Wes, and Booby is. Riding the line between champs and stars, you know. And then they end the episode without letting us know who Booby votes for. So that's what we call in the business a cliffhanger. And it's very dramatic. So that's the challenge chunk. Great stuff. What's our show's Twitter? DYWSLN. I mentioned that earlier. You can follow me at Jake Scheidel. It's my name. Thomas, what's your Twitter handle?
Follow me at TomNotTom.
What's your current display name or whatever?
Waluigi Datomi.
Okay.
There was a guy that played for the Pistons briefly named Luigi Datomi, so...
Yes. Okay. Facebook, you can do that too. Shooter's Review. I have not checked our Facebook. The only time I ever check our Facebook is when I update the profile picture when we talk about a new season. So if you want to go to that website and give us a like, it's the name of a show. You can review us on Apple Podcasts. I was going to say something before I said have a great summer, but I forgot what it was. So I'll just say it. Have a great summer.
Deuces. In the day we sweat out on the streets of a runaway American dream. At night we ride through mansions of glory and suicide machines. Spun from cages on Highway 9, chrome wheel fuel injected iron. Stepping out over the line, baby, this town rips the bones from your back. It's a death trap. It's a suicide rap. I wanna get out while I'm still young. Cause tramps like us, baby, we were born to run. Well, when did you let me in? I wanna be your friend. I wanna guard your dreams and visions. Just wrap your legs around these velvet rims. Strap your hands across my engine. And together we could break this trap.
We'll run till we drop, and baby, we'll never go back. Walk with me out on the wire. Girl, I'm just a scared and lonely rider, and I gotta know how it feels. I wanna know if love is wild. I wanna know if love is real. Beyond the palace, heavy power drones scream down the boulevard. A girl's comb her hair in rear view mirrors. A boy's try to look so hard. The amusement park rises bold star. Kids are huddled on the beach in the mist.
Is recording. Are you recording over on your end?
I am recording, yes.
Okay.
Hi, recording. I'm Dad.
Love Dads. Dads is a good bit. Dads is actually just a bit. There's actually no real parent.
There's no such thing as being a dad. It's just like it's a subculture.
It's a funny bit, yeah. The first time you buy your first pair of khaki shorts, suddenly you're a dad, and then coincidentally, you also have a child. And then it's just a really funny running bit that runs for like 60 years?
Yeah, Drake bought some khaki shorts, and then it was revealed that he is hiding a child.
Yeah. He went into a JCPenney, and they were like, why are you wearing khaki shorts? Why are you buying khaki shorts? And he's like, no reason, I thought they looked cool. And they were all suspicious. And then Pusha T, Detective T, was like, I know why. I know why he's got those shorts.
Pusher Tim.
Pusher Tim. Hi, I'm Pusher Tim. Welcome to JCPenney. I feel like Chris Noble's a better rapper
no.
than Drake. I feel like
don't do this.
In his voice than
don't
Drake.
You fucking do this.
I don't like Drake. That's my hot take. And it's not very hot. Okay.
The tea, not hot.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Unpopular opinion, Drake edition.
Oh my god.
Actually.
Man, Twitter, the Twitter memescape is fucking garbage right now. Picture this, it's 15 years from now. It is in its 10th season. Was president.
Honestly, I'd be fine with it. We're talking about
clean,
Ghost Island again.
Clean jobs are outlawed. God damn, I have an idea for a bit that I think I am going to do, because you know how we've been joking...
Wait, for the show?
It's been a running joke for a while that Drizzy Drake Graham
yeah.
and the Toronto Raptors are constantly on Survivor.
Yeah.
Well, like, what if I just, the story of Adidon, but if Jeff Probst was doing it? Easy money, it's about to be a surgical summer. Chop the tops off the coops. The quattro ciento ochenta e ocho, the spider joint. And you know we gotta cut the heads off these snakes, right? Watch the body drop. Drug dealing aside, ghostwriting aside, let's have a heart-to-heart about your pride. Even though you're multi, I see that your soul don't look alive. The M's count different when baby divides the pie. Wait! Let's examine why. Your music for the past few years been angry and full of lies. I'll start it at the home front. I'm on one. Dennis Graham, stay off the gram, bitch. I'm on one. You mention wedding ring like it's a bad thing. Your father walked away at 5. Hell of a dad thing. Marriage is something that Sandy never had, Drake. How you a winner, but she keep coming in last place. Donk your monkey suit Dennis, you parade him. A Steve Harvey suit brother made him confused. Always felt you weren't black enough, afraid to grow it because your fro wouldn't nap enough. Since you name-dropped my fiancé, let him know who you chose as your Beyoncé. Sophie knows better as your baby mother, cleaned her up for IG, but the stench is on her. A baby's involved, it's deeper than rap, we talk in character, let me keep with the facts. You are hiding a child, let the boy come home. Deadbeat motherfucker playing border patrol. Adonis is your son, and he deserves more than an Adidas press run. That's real. Love that baby, respect that girl. Forget she's a porn star, let her be your world. Yuck. I can't do this for any longer. I didn't even get to the OVO 40 hunched over like he 80. The best part of that, like, it is like a legitimately really good disc.
Wait, before you explain, I want to make one note. At one point you said something about ghosts. If you could change the line to Ghost Island aside for the Jeff Probst, and then just start from the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Everything else was perfect.
Drug dealing aside, Ghost Island aside.
There we go.